I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Republican senators calling on the White House to permanently freeze the $6 billion in Iranian oil money that was unfrozen in order to get back prisoners from Iran in a U.S.-Iranian prisoner swap. The United States, Fox Business has confirmed that the U.S. and Qatar have agreed not to transfer any of that money for now after the devastating Hamas attacks on Israel. The White House not confirming that and says that they have no direct evidence tying Iran to these attacks. Now, the New York Times backing up with the Wall Street Journal first reported. General Petraeus and I were just talking about this. Very specific reporting from both of those papers outlining involvement that Iranians were involved, reporting, quote, Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, held an hours-long online meeting in March with an elite group of strategists from all the Iran-backed militias and told them to get ready for a war with Israel with a scope and reach, including a ground invasion that would mark a new era.
Well, if that is accurate, it certainly seems to have come true, doesn't it? The Hamas ground invasion of Israel, and Iran was already aware and saying get ready for it. How would they be aware of it? Because they were involved in the planning. That was a Fox News report, and as you heard in the beginning, mentioning that there's an effort by U.S. senators to freeze up that $6 billion we were going to give Iran in exchange for some hostages, five hostages released, and now we were also giving them five hostages they wanted. And then shortly after that, within a couple, 3 weeks, we had the war breakout as Hamas invades Israel with basically a ground force invasion, just like an army. And they were an army of terrorists. Now, you also heard the Fox report say that there is a source stating that the U.S. has an agreement with Qatar to halt freezing, or rather unfreezing the money. So maybe it will be held. If you're going to accept that report, Senator Cory Booker had said 5 days ago the money is frozen. A dollar has not gone out. I like to think that, but I want to bring something else to your attention very quickly. That $6 billion, while I don't want that given to Iran, that is really minuscule compared to what this administration, the Biden administration, has done regarding restraining Iran on trading. They have made something by $100 billion plus on oil that they've been shipping out. Our sanctions, we dropped them. We're not enforcing. We're just letting everything go. So the $6 billion amounts almost to chump change for them, but I don't want them to have more money. And we know they're going to turn it over to terrorist activists, I should say, and that's how the money will be used. But the fact that this administration has relaxed sanctions so much that Iran can make that much money on trading oil, that never should happen. This is October 18, 2023. Glad to have you on board for the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And, of course, we're streaming from the studio at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. If you miss any of those, any part of either program, either the video or the audio, and you want to look it up, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. I'm branded just that way everywhere, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll find everything you're trying to locate. So this Iran issue, while we have Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, on behalf of the White House saying, no, there's no evidence that Iran was involved in planning or paying for the Hamas terrorists. My guest in the last hour, retired Colonel John Mills, says Blinken's lying. In other words, if his lips are moving, he's lying. And I tend to agree with the colonel. Now, a former CIA station chief, Dan Hoffman, was on with Maria Bartiromo discussing the Iran issue.
We always had significant concerns about Iran. One was the fact that now they're a nuclear threshold state. So that was the first thing that we were concerned about with the failed JCPOA deal. Second was the ballistic missile program, which is growing. And as you noted, those UN sanctions are set to expire today. And third is Iran's state sponsorship of terrorism, which is what we're seeing in the Gaza Strip, where without Iran, Hamas never would have been able to mount that terrorist attack on Israel, as well as Iran's support for Lebanese Hezbollah, which has their finger on the trigger and 100,000 plus missiles aimed at Israel. And the real concern on the part of the United States that a second front will open between Israel and Hezbollah, and that would be another significant challenge for Israel's national security, which is why we've sent the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier to the Gulf and plan on sending the Dwight D. Eisenhower aircraft carrier in the coming days.
Again, he's pointing out it's not just because of the Hamas action, but because we know Iran is behind it and how it could escalate rapidly. If we're just worried about a terrorist group in Gaza Strip, we wouldn't need to have two carrier groups in place. We need two carrier groups in case Iran then invites Hezbollah to start getting more aggressive. They've already fired some rockets into Israel from Lebanon, and Israel has returned fire, but it's not escalating so far. And then, of course, Iran could also make its own decision. And again, back to a former CIA station chief, Dan Hoffman, as he was discussing the situation.
We haven't solved, you know, the Iran problem in the Middle East. And the Gulf states have tried to strike a deal with Iran. Saudi Arabia and Iran, through that Chinese broker deal, have tried to soften their relationship. But really, the threat remains, and that's a challenge for us.
Let me get your take, Daniel. When you look at what we have here, as Israel gears up to go into Gaza Strip and, quote-unquote, destroy Hamas, do you think they have the capability to do that, knowing that there could be another problem on the north with Hezbollah coming in? Can Israel be successful here?
They can, but it's going to come at a cost. And while innocent civilians, Palestinian civilians, are above ground, it's those Hamas terrorists, the roughly 30 to 50,000 Hamas terrorists who are enjoying some kind of strategic depth, literally, in the tunnels. And it allows them to hide there and make it very difficult for Israel to clear the territory of those terrorists. So there will be civilian casualties.
There are massive tunnels in the Gaza Strip that Hamas has prepared for years. So they've got a lot of hiding places. You can drop a building down on it, but if you don't break through the tunnel, you're not reaching them. That, again, is former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman. On the latest existing crisis as it stands, Hamas, of course, claiming Israel targeted a hospital for a missile strike, and many quickly bought into the Hamas claim.
The Israeli military has been contacted for comment, and they have said that they are investigating. But, you know, it is hard to see what else this could be, really, given the size of the explosion, other than an Israeli airstrike or several airstrikes. Because, you know, when we've seen rockets being fired out of Gaza, we never see explosions of that scale. We might see half a dozen, maybe a few more people being killed in such rocket attacks. But we've never seen anything on the scale of the sort of explosion on the video I was watching earlier, which, as you say, is still to be verified.
Still to be verified. Now, I'm not a war correspondent. I'm sure the BBC reporter you were hearing has a lot more experience in that area than I do. But I can say, how can you simply say, I've never seen anything like that? It has to be something fired from Israel. No, it doesn't. I mean, first of all, you could have had Hamas simply blow the hospital up. I don't think that happened. And in fact, Israel says what we looked into was an option that Hamas misfired one of their own rockets. I'll break it down for you in a moment. But basically right now, because of the Hamas claim, Biden's plans to meet with the Jordan's king, Egypt's president, and Palestinian Authority president all got canceled because they don't want to talk to him because of the alleged Israel attack of a hospital. Biden had his response to the hospital bombing.
I was deeply saddened and outraged by the explosion at the hospital in Gaza yesterday. And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you. But there's a lot of people out there not sure.
Well, that's a fact, and I wish you'd said something other than the other team, the enemy, the terrorist, but as he was talking to Benjamin Netanyahu, said by the other team. Well, he's saying a lot of folks out there are quick to buy the story, including Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, among the first to blame Israel for that deadly explosion, stating it was absolutely unacceptable. You heard the BBC reporter, and again, I'm giving him credit for being a war correspondent. I've never seen anything like this. It can be no other explanation, but it hasn't been verified. Add that as an added footnote. We have the Israeli Mossad saying it intercepted terrorist communications of Hamas. One operator talking to another and saying, what happened? He said, a rocket we were firing from the cemetery near the hospital fell short. In other words, when they're firing from their own territory, aiming to put it 20 to 30 miles into Israel, and it falls short, and it landed right into the hospital. In fact, one of the Hamas operators supposedly saying it couldn't fall anywhere else, basically. Now, again, if you believe the recording and accept that it is Hamas operators talking, then Hamas did have a mishap. They didn't intend to hit the hospital, and they certainly didn't intend for it to fall short. And reference to the devastation it was causing, if you have a rocket loaded for propellant prepared to go X number of miles and it falls way short, you not only have the warhead on that rocket, you have the fuel. And that would explain some of the devastation being greater than this correspondent had seen before, that nothing else would compare to it unless it was a strike. And then you have to consider that Hamas often hides weapons, munitions, under buildings such as hospitals and residences so they can be safe from attack. So a lot of options for it. Biden said he based his decision, or rather his remarks, upon what the Defense Department told him and what they showed him. So apparently our Defense Department has additional information that shows, yeah, it could not have come from Israel. Biden also addressed the issue of the captives that are still being held by Hamas.
For those who are living in limbo, waiting desperately to learn the fate of a loved one, especially to families of the hostages, you're not alone. We're working with partners throughout the region, pursuing every avenue to bring home those who are being held captive by Hamas. I can't speak publicly about all the details, but let me assure you, for me, as the American president, there's no higher priority than the release and safe return of all these hostages.
Now, it's been stated several times, I've seen, that Hamas has 199 hostages. That's a precise number. They're not saying almost 200. They're saying precisely 199. I don't know where the accounting is coming from. It's from Hamas or some other calculations. I would say it has to be something provided by Hamas because they would know how many they have. Then you have to ask, would they be inflating it? I don't think so if they're giving a specific number. But the bottom line is we want them out. We have U.S. citizens who might have dual passports, citizenship, and we have others. Either way, they're being held by these terrorists, and we want them freed. But can we get them free without damage and harming other civilians? As President Biden made his address to Netanyahu and appearing in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu immediately embraced him literally on the tarmac and then in his statement.
A level of cooperation that is truly unprecedented in the history of the great alliance between our two nations. We see that support in your steadfast commitment to provide Israel with the tools we need to defend ourselves. We see that support in the clear message you've sent our enemies not to test our resolve, and in the two American carrier battle groups that you sent to the region to back up those words with action. But above all, Mr. President, the world sees that support and the moral clarity that you have demonstrated from the moment Israel was attacked. You've rightly drawn a clear line between the forces of civilization and the forces of barbarism. You describe what Hamas did as sheer evil. It is exactly that.
And as I'd mentioned in the first hour, in case you missed it, shame on you, but I know you have a lot of other things to do, If you missed it, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Pull it up and you can see and listen to it anyway. But the essence of what I'm telling you now is that as Biden got onto the tarmac off Air Force One, Netanyahu really did embrace him in a bear hug. It almost seemed to catch Biden off guard. Thought we're just going to shake hands, and now we're embracing. Two men embracing, and it seemed to startle Biden a bit. But that's just my perception. Now, of course, we also had the issue about those inside the Gaza Strip seeking sanctuary. Egypt will not allow them in, at last report. They're not going to take them. Say they will not take refugees from the Gaza Strip. And we also have other nations saying, well, somebody's got to do something. Well, here comes the first prime minister from Scotland, Humsat Yousaf. He is the leader of the locally developed government in Scotland, said, we will open the doors to Palestinians seeking asylum. And he demanded the international community open their countries up to millions of Palestinians in the war in Gaza. He posted a video saying there are currently 1 million displaced people in Gaza, so therefore I'm calling on the international community to commit to a worldwide refugee program. We've already had statements from various U.S. representatives say we will not accept them here. And I don't think we should. We've got enough of an issue of illegal immigrants coming across. And the other issue is that we brought many in from Afghanistan. They were not properly vetted. We don't know how many terrorists we literally brought into our own country. As far as what took place with Hamas terrorists attacking unarmed civilians and butchering them, President Biden made this statement.
There's no rationalizing it, no excusing it, period. The brutality we saw would have cut deep anywhere in the world, but it cuts deeper here in Israel. October 7th, which was a sacred Jewish holiday, became the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. It has brought to the surface painful memories and scars left by millennia of anti-Semitism and the genocide of the Jewish people. The world watched then, it knew, and the world did nothing. We will not stand by and do nothing again. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
Well, those are very strong words talking on a world stage regarding the enemy. But I want to see Biden turn around on representatives of his own party, beginning with Cori Bush, then Tlaib, Ramirez, and others wanting a ceasefire, saying, enough, Israel has to stop. And I want to see him charge them with anti-Semitism. There, you will have me convinced that you're really serious about it. You appear on the world stage, you do sound strong, but if you're not condemning members of your own party that are espousing and basically accepting Hamas terrorist activities, and certainly not condemning it, full-throated condemnation, then you're wrong. Still to come in this hour, Arizona congressman, who's also previously a Navy SEAL, says anyone who thinks our border is secure is a fool. I second that. Up next, campus radicals of the past are now teaching your children, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As we reported the other day, we had something like 30 different student organizations just at Harvard come out as against and blaming the Israeli regime for all the violence that took place when Hamas attacked Israel. Why would these student the organizations do that, and not just at Harvard but elsewhere? Well, a research taken out by the Heritage Foundation taking a good look at some of this, and as reported, they put it into the Washington Examiner, shows a number of former campus radicals are now either teaching kids in the higher education institutes or even as in schools for younger children. In other words, they're espousing this kind of hate, anti-Semitism, and it's being accepted by the schools. Joining us now is Jason Bedrick with the Heritage Foundation. Jason, welcome aboard.
Larry, thank you for having me.
All right, I'm looking at the piece you guys, you and J.P. Green, did for the Washington Examiner, talking about how many of these campus radicals of the past are now in charge of teaching our children. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, we decided to look at it after we saw so many different university groups all across the country, not just, you know, expressing sympathy for Palestinian civilians who are caught up in the violence, and not even just blaming Israel for what Hamas did, as awful as that is, but actually glorifying Hamas, referring to them as martyrs. The Students for Justice in Palestine chapter at Tufts called Hamas liberation fighters and praised them for, quote, showing the creativity necessary to take back stolen land. And, of course, by creativity, they mean the mass slaughter of teenagers and young adults at a concert, mass gang rapes, the torture and mutilation of so many people, taking hostages, and this is what they're describing as creativity. So we said, well, you know, it's crazy that they're doing this, but eventually these students are going to graduate and they're going to be doing something with their lives.
Yeah.
So what we did is we looked at the Canary Mission, which is a fantastic organization that tracks campus radicals as well as radical professors across the country, and we looked at the students that had already graduated. And we said, well, what are they doing? And amazingly, nearly 40% of these students are either in higher ed or K-12 education. So, you know, public schools and universities are essentially becoming jobs programs for campus radicals to indoctrinate your children.
Yeah, they get the training and they go out and espouse the same thing, and it just filters through, absolutely, I should say, unfiltered, and presented as a fact when it may just be an opinion and a basically approach to destroy those they hate. Now, you, one other thing before we go too deep into this, I talked about those student groups on the Harvard campus. the Harvard president didn't have a lot to say in the beginning about it, but then apparently started saying, we don't really accept what they're doing, but they have a right to free speech. It sounds to me like some of the Harvard alums saying, we're going to be pulling dollars out of there if you don't turn things around. Are you seeing reaction like that elsewhere, and do you think that will have an effect or not?
Yes, we've seen a number of big donors at Harvard, at UPenn, at Columbia and elsewhere who have said that they're done, they're pulling their dollars out, they're walking away, they're not going to fund this sort of thing anymore. I personally have never been so ashamed to be a Harvard alum. The way that the university is constantly making pronouncements about different political events, both domestically and internationally, and yet remain silent for so long, it is completely disingenuous for the president of Harvard to say that they're not going to punish these students or take any action because they respect free expression and free speech. First of all, they got the worst rating from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression,
right,
this year. Harvard actually got a 0, and that was generous because they should have gotten a -7. But they round it up to 0. So it's like, here you have a campus where, students get in trouble for a misplaced pronoun. But if people are praising Hamas in the midst of, the worst massacre that Jewish civilians have had since the Holocaust, that's perfectly acceptable. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Let's go from the East Coast of Harvard to the West Coast UCLA, where you're talking about the students supporting Israel on the campus, and they were carrying the genocidal slogan, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And, of course, this student that was overseeing it, you identify as a graduate student teaching courses at the same university. And another campus radical you found, according to the Canary Mission, is basically teaching literature courses at another Ivy League universities, but also had been proclaiming Zionist Jews bankrolled nearly all American politics.
Yeah, I mean, so these are people that were campus radicals that said those sorts of things and had no problem finding positions at the Ivy League or other top tier universities. And so this is why the climate is just so terrible, particularly for Jewish students. I mean, the Wall Street Journal, even a couple of years ago, had an in-depth piece talking about how Jewish students on campus are, because it's such a hostile environment, are hiding signs of their Jewishness. They're not wearing a Star of David necklace that they might otherwise wear, wearing a baseball cap instead of a yarmulke for those who wear yarmulkes. You can only imagine how terrifying it is for college students today when they're seeing their fellow students in marches. Like you said, when they're chanting, Palestine will be free from the river to the sea, that means from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That means the entire elimination of Israel. How do you think that's going to happen? Not without a genocide against the Jewish people.
No, the entire Israeli state would be wiped out. But now we're talking about the higher institutions of learning, but then you look at, start moving as you did, looking at elementary and secondary schools. And you, one example that the Canary Mission pointed out was a alum that is a behavior analyst for a school district in Illinois, another radical at a high school in Maryland, who had basically praised a terrorist convicted of killing two Israeli students in a supermarket bombing, calling him a true Palestinian icon, and that is in a high school teacher's class.
Yeah, praising Rosmea Odeh, who was a terrorist who was convicted for bombing a supermarket where two people were killed. So we're not just talking some Palestinian activist, an activist for Palestinian rights or something. We're talking a convicted terrorist. And this is the kind of people that some of these campus radicals are praising and glorifying.
Well, here's the other issue, though. These folks have always been there, and they may voice their opinion from time to time or have their own little rallies. But this, as bad as this terrorist activity was, it has brought them into the spotlight, and they were beaming in it. Until now, maybe they're thinking that, the backlash might be more than we were expecting. But they've been there. They've been in the midst of the students all this time anyway.
That's absolutely right. They've always been telling us who they are. The Black Lives Matter movement, for example, you saw that the Chicago chapter issued tweets with an image of the paraglider. These are the Palestinian Hamas terrorists who were using hang gliders to go over the border into Israel and then slaughter young adults and teenagers at that concert, glorifying that image. Black Lives Matter years ago, the only foreign policy plank that they had was something that was anti-Israel. So these people have always been telling us who they are. But now I think it's becoming very clear to even the average citizen who maybe wasn't paying such close attention that these people are driven by hatred of Jews.
And you're pointing out the CEO of Pershing Square, Bill Ackman, is asking a number of CEOs if Harvard would release a list of members of these organizations, and basically they want to know the name so they make sure they don't hire any of them. You think that'll have any effect?
Yes, it's already had some effect. We've already seen in some cases, particularly among law students, that they have had offers that they already received rescinded because they have been out there. There was a student who was the president of the Bar Association at NYU. Just this morning, there was an announcement that there were a few law students at Harvard Law who had their job offers rescinded. So, yeah, I mean, this is called accountability.
You think they would have a recourse? You think they'd have a recourse saying you're denying me a free speech opportunity, or do you think they'd just fold their tent and go away?
No, I don't think they have recourse in this case. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio, but, you know, this goes far beyond just a matter of free speech. It's a matter of judgments. It's a matter of, you know, supporting a terrorist organization, not just, you know, a typical run-of-the-mill political opinion. You know, and it's also worth pointing out that a lot of these students are actually foreign nationals that are here on student visas.
Right.
One of the requirements is that if you're here on a visa, that you not support terrorism or terrorist organizations. Hamas is a terrorist organization, according to the U.S. Department of State.
Right.
And it is possible. You've already seen a number of people, Marco Rubio, Tom Cotton, Ron DeSantis, who have been calling for these students' visas to be revoked, something that the Department of Homeland Security should look into.
Now, in the closing minute here, you also point out in your piece that you did for Washington Examiner that you are looking at maybe some young students. They're being young. We were all foolish at some point. Maybe still.
Yes. yes. And look, we shouldn't hold people responsible forever just for youthful indiscretions. And you've already seen some people who have come forward and they've said, look, you know, I didn't read it before I signed it. Mm-hmm. My organization signed it, but I don't, this doesn't represent me. You know, so I think we should be holding responsible those that, were officers of these organizations. Now they've had the opportunity to have seen it. So if they have not pulled their name off of, these statements, I think it is appropriate to hold them responsible. But, unlike the left, you know, we on the right believe in, forgiveness and grace. And so I think it is important if they apologize, if they make amends, and if they state clearly that they have had a change of heart, that they are not supporters of terrorism, we shouldn't hold them accountable forever.
All right. Thank you very much, Jason Bedrick, Center for Education Policy with the Heritage Foundation. I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate yours.
All right. Yeah, they're not just in the Institutes of Higher Learning. They might be in your elementary or high school. You need to keep on watch on them. Coming up, dealing with Iran. Yes, dealing with Iran.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
Standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. The nightfall will be coming soon. Oh my my, oh hell yes, you got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane, one more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We can do that and make the safety of our own citizens first and primary, and that's something that we hardly ever do. This is, to me, this is one more time where many members of Congress and our leaders look to something else, an atrocity going on in the world, and they completely drop the ball and forget about what's going on here. They forget about our wide open border, the 240 individuals that have been, since Biden took office, that have been on the terror watch list, that have been encountered at the southern border, and the 1.5 million gotaways. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're going. We don't know what they're up to. And if you don't think there's any lone wolves in there or terrorist cells that have come in through that wide open border, you're a fool.
You would be a fool, and I'm afraid many Americans have been hoodwinked by the Biden administration. The border's secure. Everything's good. And even Democrats who bought that argument, now as perhaps the mayor of New York City or the governor of New York recognized as they've got illegals all over their area now, we need to put a stop to this. You think? And it's not just illegals, but are they here for bettering their lives? Are they here to destroy this nation and your life? Literally. Those were the words of Arizona Congressman Eli Crane. Also has served our country as a Navy SEAL. And he says we should be supporting Israel. It's a time for us to do it, but we need to keep in mind we've got to look to our country. I couldn't stress that more than what he did. We want Israel secure. And they had what we thought was the tightest security, but it got breached. And, of course, they've yet to determine exactly what went wrong or where. We discussed that in great detail in our first hour today. If you missed it, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up as we talk to Colonel John Mills about the intel devices that were ignored and are dropped on the floor. But supporting Israel, we want to do it, despite the incursion on their border wall, which was a full-scale invasion. We have yet to have that actually happen on our southern border. There's nothing to say it couldn't. Have you stopped to think about that? We're talking about thousands coming across on a routine basis, But what if they were coming across armed and fully ready to wage war? I would tell you this. I would think that any member of our citizenry living along the border should be armed, because you never know if they're coming to just maybe steal some food, or they're coming in to butcher you and your family in the name of the PLO or ISIS or Hamas or Hezbollah. You never know. And we do know that numerous Middle Eastern residents have crossed our border. And we've also seen us capture and locate many that should not have been able to enter our country. They were on a terrorist watch list. And we've got so many across the nation, we don't know where they are anyway. So why haven't we done something? If you're going to accept that our border is secure and we don't need to deal with Iran and what it's trying to foment, not only in the Middle East, but maybe here. And if Iran's doing it, China is. We already know that numerous Chinese military-age men have come across the border. If we don't recognize that, then we are a fool. And you look at what can be done. Well, to that extent, Arizona Congressman Crane, as I say, who had also served our nation as a Navy SEAL, says the issue is the Democrats, for the most part, are more concerned about one thing other than security.
I hate to say it, but to me, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This is what happens when you play stupid games. You win stupid prizes. And this is why this administration and my colleagues on the other side infuriate me, because they play politics with border security, and they put politics above the safety of Americans. You know, when I'm sitting in these committee hearings, I can't even get colleagues on the other side to admit that a wall or a barrier is an important part of a security system. They'll sit there and say, oh yeah, well, people can go over the wall or people can tunnel under the wall. And that's true, Maria. But the fact of the matter is that real security has always been and will always be overlapping deterrence. It's not just a wall by itself. It's a wall. It's, you know, it's agents that are well-trained. It's intelligence and so many other things that work in coordination to keep Americans safe.
Yeah.
And you can tell this administration wants nothing to do with keeping Americans safe by their actions.
I would second that. And again, that's Arizona Congressman Crane appearing with Maria Bartiromo on her program. And when he talks about you don't just have the wall, you have everything else. Well, Israel had all of that. And it still got invaded by terrorists intent upon killing their citizens, not just folks wanting to go live in Israel. So you got to keep that in mind for this nation. And when it comes to Biden making the trip to Israel and meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu, I have praised him for doing that and praised him for his remarks. I do say that a lot of it comes too late, but that's past now, and it's done now that he has made an appearance. And he planned on meeting other leaders of the region, but they canceled out when the reports were circulating that Israel was responsible for bombing a hospital in Gaza. Israel says their intelligence units intercepted communications between Hamas agents, and they recognized they had misfired one of their rockets and it fell short, and they were to blame for the hospital bombing. But despite all of that, and I'm glad the president is making it clear to Israel, we'll stand with you. He will not condemn members of his own party who still espouse the hatred we've seen expressed by Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran when they chant death to America. Do you not think we should confront that directly? Senator Kennedy, Louisiana, is talking about how the world leaders basically see Joe Biden.
I think we have to be honest with ourselves. America has a president who is not a defense hawk. America has a president whose administration is, frankly, more interested in discussing whether a man can breastfeed than it is in talking about national security. Put yourself in the shoes of our enemies, Russia and Iran and China. Our enemies have included that America has a president who's a bit of a weenie on national defense, and Xi and Putin and the Ayatollah think they can roll over him like thunder on a summer night.
I do love the way the man comes up with his colloquialisms and are absolutely on point. Roll over Biden like thunder in the night. And he's right. The Louisiana senator is absolutely correct. These other nations do not see Biden as being a strong president. Stop and think for a moment. You want to question that. Did we see these kinds of incursions when Trump was in office, whether you like him or not? Simply answer that question. Did we see Ukraine being invaded before Trump came in? Crimea was invaded by Putin, and Obama didn't do that much. Trump comes in, all that ceases. Trump is out. Now we have Ukraine and now Israel, direct assaults. Now, are you going to think, well, it's just because Trump is one of those mean guys? Or because they really believe that he will defend this nation and he will stand up against enemies, foreign and domestic, as he took the oath to do, while this president has not shown that, because he's controlled and under the boot of the progressives inside the Democrat Party. But even they are beginning to recognize this is not working well for us, this open border policy. They're inundating our northern blue cities now. That's not what we had in mind. And then when it hits the fan, when terrorists that have invaded our country, I correct that, they didn't invade, we basically invited them in. And in fact, we might have brought some in from Afghanistan via U.S. Air Force planes as we were evacuating Afghans ahead of the Taliban taking over again. When it hits the fan and those terrorists begin to take their actions, how many Democrats, even among the squad, are going to make themselves fully publicly visible and acknowledge we've endangered this nation? Some of them, as a thought crosses my mind, it crosses my lips without even filtering through the brain. That's scary, isn't it? That some of them might already be planning refuge in some of these very countries that are going to be coming in and trying to destroy our nation. I'm talking about members of Congress and Democrat Party progressives. Democrats I know would not abide by any of this. We can have some differences, but they do know they want their nation secure. I know that they want their family secure, if nothing else. So Biden's visit to Israel was a strong move. Does it send a signal to Israel's enemies, contrary to what we're hearing from Senator Kennedy, that shows that he's not so weak? Well, you can question that, but again, back on the home front, Biden won't even condemn the Democrats who won't condemn Hamas. Even though he did leave a strong message with Israel, that's coming up.
Well, today, I say to all of Israel, the United States isn't going anywhere either. We're going to stand with you. We'll walk beside you in those dark days. We'll walk beside you in the good days to come. And they will come. As you say in Hebrew, which I'm not going to attempt to do because I'm such a terrible linguist, I'll say in English, the people of Israel live. The people of Israel live. Israel will be safe, secure, Jewish, and democratic state today, tomorrow, and forever. May God protect all those who work for peace. God save those who are still in harm's way.
And I would add an amen to that. The U.S. did veto a draft resolution, the U.N. Security Council, which called for a humanitarian pause in besieged Gaza. And that's, of course, sparking more criticism of political paralysis in the globe. The draft resolution proposed by Brazil condemned the October 7th terror attacks in Israel by Palestinian militant group Hamas. It also called on all parties, that would include Israel, to comply with international law and protect civilian lives in the Gaza. And the international community should engineer, quote, humanitarian pauses in the fighting to allow for aid delivery. 12 of the council's 15 members approved the draft today, the UK and Russia abstaining and a U.S. veto. After the veto, the U.S. ambassador to the UN stated that the U.S. wanted more time to let Americans on the ground diplomacy play out, which the U.S. had previously delayed voting, or rather previously the U.S. had delayed voting on the resolution. She also criticized the text for failing to mention Israel's right to self-defense. Well, I think that's a good strong stand in the UN, but we're probably going to need more than just a veto of a resolution in the UN. There are reports that Biden, before he left Israel, did get assurances from Israel that it would allow an opportunity for aid and humanitarian services to be delivered to Gaza. Exactly how and when, that's going to be the key, because here's the way it plays on the other side. Hamas sees a victory already. Oh, you're going to stop shelling us so we can bring in food and water and help for those who are injured? I ask you a question. Riddle me this. When the food and water and military aid arrive, do you think the hostages are going to get some of that right away? Do you think the Palestinian civilians inside, trapped in Gaza, because the Hamas terrorist group will not allow them to leave, do you think they're going to get first call on that? Or do you think the first in line to get the food, the water, and any military, or rather medical aid, would be Hamas terrorist members? Do you really have to take a lot of time to figure that one out? But that's a dilemma. If you're going to allow some of this stuff to go in, you're going to stop firing the rockets, so UN peace officers or whoever's delivering the aid can get in and out safely, and then it will start again. But you have no control of the aid that once it's delivered as to who actually ends up getting it. And it buys Hamas additional time for additional efforts that they may be planning or replacing and moving hostages and military hardware. There's no doubt there are a lot of civilians in Gaza suffering. That would include women and children and men who have nothing to do with Hamas other than be obedient so they don't lose their head, literally. But they're not likely to see that aid until the terrorists decide, we got what we need, or we'll share some with you. And then we're living without being pounded by the Israelis, despite us going in and slaughtering their people and taking hostages. As we stated previously, for Israel to go in on a ground offensive into Gaza, it's going to be a high casualty rate on both sides, and it will involve civilians caught in the middle. I would keep all the Gaza citizens that are not part of Hamas in your prayers that they be protected. I do. But I'll have to admit, I also pray that God rain the hell of wrath down upon those terrorists and what they carried out against the Israeli citizens. That's my prayer. I remind you, we always appreciate you listening, and our pledge, one nation under God.